This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome, everyone, to episode one of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WW Today, and with me on the show is blogger and runner Michelle Scribner-McLean. Welcome, Michelle.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
Doing well. Excited. One more thing to add to, you know, the list of things that I do, and I'm all excited about this this new adventure and hoping that we can help a lot of people out there.
It's going to be great.
With us also is, you may know him as Sock Geek. He hails from Austin, Texas and Capital City Running. His name is Steve Bernhardt. So how you doing, Steve?
Terrific, Mike. How are you this evening?
Doing well, and great to have you here, and let's go. Let's start. This is episode one, and we thought it's the beginning of an adventure for us, so why not make it helpful for those of you who are looking for an adventure in running? If you're listening to the show, it's possible that you are thinking about maybe starting a running program. So what we would like to do tonight is we would like to talk about how you go from a couch potato to running a 5K, with specific focus on Run Disney 5Ks. So first, let's talk about the general things that you need to do when starting a running program. I'm going to turn this over to Steve to give us an idea about the two or three things that are, or maybe four things, that are most important to think about and to do when starting a running program. So Steve, I'm going to throw it to you to get us going off on this topic.
All right, Mike. I think the first thing is particularly if you've been sedentary for a while, is to to see your physician. Just get a general physical. Just to check, you know, make sure everything is in order to be able to start a fitness program. If you're somebody who has already does have some some fitness, who's been doing some light running or cycling or swimming or that kind of thing, you may not need to do that. But again, if you have, it's been a while since you've done any kind of real physical activity, I'd definitely encourage you to probably see a physician to get started. The next thing I'd probably put in that is start to make that commitment. And one of the ways to make a commitment to starting a running program is to get yourself a good pair of shoes. Go to a good running store, get properly fit for footwear. One of the biggest things that I see that ends people's running career prematurely early is injury and sore feet. So if we can get you a good pair of shoes to get you started, I think you're off on a good foot.
You mean you're not supposed to just choose it because you like the color?
You know, I'll say right now, it will be always something that you'll hear throughout this podcast, is that I'll always encourage people, do not buy your running footwear based on price, brand, or color. Make sure you're buying it based on your biomechanics, injury history, mileage, foot type, all those kind of fun things. A properly fit shoe will take you a long way. So that's a really good place to get started. After that, is put together a light plan. You need two things with a light plan. You need short-term goals. How many times a week are you going to run? We suggest that you run for time rather than mileage when you're first starting. So, trying to head out the door and say, I'm going to run a mile or 2 miles or 3 miles today, can be a little overwhelming for a lot of people. But to say, hey, I'm going to go outside and I'm going to be out for 20 minutes or 15 minutes or a half hour today, I think that's much more manageable. And a lot of times we're even suggesting within that that's not total running time. If you're starting with a run-walk program, in a 15-minute or 20 minutes, you may only run 5 minutes of that, with the other 15 minutes being walk recovery. And that's terrific, and that's what you're going to do to start. And then I guess maybe the last thing I'd put is have the mindset to set a long-term goal. And that's what we're talking about with these Disney 5Ks, is having something sit out there on the horizon in 4 or 5 or 6 months from now definitely makes it much easier to get out the door and make sure you get those runs in and build those, build that endurance and get those running skills that you need to be able to complete a 5K, that if you have that carrot dangling out there, it definitely helps you move, achieve your short-term goals as well as you're moving along toward that long-term goal.
I think that's a great start. I always think of the three Ps. I think people need to do some planning. They need to be very very persistent, and most of all, they need to have patience. So I think that that's
perfect.
Important. Yeah.
And I like to grab technology. Mike calls me Gadget Girl, and yeah. I think there's a lot of great technology that can help people do this. Even if you just Google Couch to 5K, there are all sorts of plans out there to help people get going. And there are apps for your iPhone or smartphone. If you just do C to 5K, you'll find it. And Run Disney has consultants of Jeff Galloway, and he has training plans on there too. So that's another place to start if you're not sure where to go.
Well, let's not forget that the name of this podcast is Mickey Miles Podcast, and we are focusing on Run Disney events. So let's talk a little bit. Michelle, I'm going to stick with you, and I want you to tell everyone who is thinking about running a Disney 5K what it's all about the atmosphere, what can they expect to experience at a Disney 5K.
Well, I love that Steve said that it can be a carrot to motivate you, because I would expect that anybody listening to this loves Disney. And I found it's a really new and fun way to experience Disney that you never have before. The 5Ks are so manageable and exciting and fun. And they have 5Ks at Disneyland and at Disney World at different times during the year. And they're usually paired with the bigger races, but don't feel that you have to do a half marathon or a marathon starting off. You can just start with the Disney 5K, and that's terrific. You can run it and walk it, and it's a race that's untimed. So you can do a walk run. I've run it with one of my sons when he was 11 or 12 years old. There are some races that have stroller divisions, and it's just very, very Disney. There are fireworks at the start, there are characters, there's usually a theme, and the themes change. I did one that was the Friends 5K, Buzz and Woody 5K, all around Epcot, and that was really fun. I did one at Disneyland that was a Star Wars 5K, and Darth Vader showed up to battle with some other Star Wars people. And I've done a few other ones. And you have characters along the way. You have people dress up, and you can stop and get your picture taken. And at the end, you have what I like to call the bling. There's a really nice medal that is usually kind of a rubbery medal, but you can wear it around the parks and show your achievements. So it's a very friendly atmosphere, and I really think anybody can do it. Any age can do it. Any level of runner can do it if you just do a little bit of training. What do you think, Mike?
I think you're right. I think one of the things that I've noticed over the last, 7 years since they've been doing 5Ks is that they have become very, very popular. I know that the 5K family run that takes place in January has been growing at a tremendous clip. This past January, they had more people than they could fit in the corrals. So I don't know what's going to happen, but you're right, Michelle, about the race being a non-pressured kind of a race. There are themed races, and they're not timed. It's just fun, and it's there for the whole family. The whole idea with the Run Disney folks want the whole family to get involved, and also, let's face it, they want to hook the little 7 and 8 year olds into running. And I think it's great because it gets them into a healthy lifestyle right off the bat. The bling is cute. The little plastic medals are nice. The shirts are always good. One thing that everyone needs to know is that, you know, the Run Disney 5K is going to be a little bit more expensive than your neighborhood 5K. So keep that in mind.
One thing I wanted to mention, too, that Steve may be able to speak to is the difference between a Disney 5K and, at least for me, my neighborhood 5K. I live in New Hampshire. I find that when I run 5Ks around here, it's usually members of the high school running team and very fast people. And I feel like I'm way at the back
That's
of the pack.
That's true.
And at Disney, I feel like it's everybody running. It's a real community of runners, and it is a lot less pressure. What do you think, Steve? Do you notice that too?
Yes, especially when you're talking about it being a non-timed event. You know, my thought about 5Ks is that there's only one way to run a 5K, and that's on the edge of death. And I don't like going that to that place too often, but that's exactly what you're talking about. When you go to the local 5Ks and you got the high school kids or some of the local, masters runners and those kinds of things that are still on top of their game. And
because they go so fast, is that what you mean?
Yeah, and they got the eye of the tiger, so it's kind of nice, to go to an event exactly like you said, where it's a little bit more low key. There's not as much pressure. It's not quite as intimidating as sometimes some of these events can be when you've got those fast folks up front.
You know, having said that, I do, Michelle, I don't know if you've noticed, but there are about maybe 5% of the runners, if that many, take the 5Ks very seriously, and they go out sprinting. And it's a very small percentage of the field that does that. And as far as I'm concerned, have fun.
Really, I think that's the key word. That's what I keep on thinking of when I think of 5Ks, fun. It's just fun. It's a fun time together. It's a family time. It's time for friends to say, I'm going to run this with you. We're going to run together. We're going to cross the finish line holding hands. And, there's lots of music. There's, it's a big running celebration. Really, really enjoyable.
Did you mention, I don't know if we didn't mention, but characters and photo opportunities with characters.
I did talk a little bit about characters along the way. They're usually themed to whatever the race theme is. But yes, you can stop and get your picture taken, and you have plenty of time because it's not timed. So
right.
It's really fun.
Just going to make one last note on the whole, the competitive nature of the 5Ks at Disney. Mm-hmm. I know there's been a lot of people that have been trying to lobby to, they have the Goofy Challenge with the marathon and the half marathon together. And there's been a lot of people trying to lobby to get them to throw the 5K in and create, a dopey or something like that. And Disney's refused to do so. And I think that speaks to the fact that they're trying to keep that 5K more low-key, more family-friendly, and less of a competitive environment.
That's true. But I think that you can still do those if you want to. You can still add the 5K if you're doing another race. But I think for a new runner or for a family of runners and you're coming to Disney or you want to make a plan to challenge yourself, it's a really accessible race.
No question.
As we get closer to the end of this podcast, I think it would be a good idea to talk a little bit about what kind of tools can the novice runner, the person who's getting off the couch, what kind of tools, technology tools, can they use to help them measure their success? What do you guys think would be a place to start on, even websites or gadgets or anything like that?
Well, I think the first thing that comes to mind, if I may, is, we were talking earlier about putting a schedule together. I think one of the better schedules I've seen out there that's got some great direction on it is on coolrunning.com, COOL running.com. They have a great 5K, couch to 5K program in there that I think is very, very well laid out and talks just about what we were talking about earlier about the run-walk type of a program. So that's something I would, suggest right away. Michelle would probably be better to talk about the technology. She seems to be the GPS person in our group.
Well, for a new runner, I would say just a watch is fine. I don't think you need anything more. I think probably later on we'll do a more extensive show on some of the technology that you can use. But just a watch to kind of see, okay, I'm running for a minute, I'm walking for a minute, I'm running for a minute. One thing that Mike introduced me to as a new runner a few years ago, I know that he's done this for a long time, is to create a journal, a running journal. And you can do it paper pencil. As Steve mentioned, you can do it on a calendar. I like to use something called Daily Mile, which is a place, it's kind of like an electronic running journal where you can, it's like the Facebook for running, and you can document how far you ran, and people can give you a little thumbs up and a cheer, and it just shows you your distance, and you can see how far you ran in a certain period of time. For me, I really like that. What about you, Mike?
Yeah, I try to look at what would help me achieve the success that I want to achieve and also help me in many other ways. For instance, the Daily Mile site, Michelle, I can see and measure if my training is doing well, if it's not, if I've tried different techniques in running, if I'm doing interval running for one particular training run versus maybe like a Galloway approach or something like that. So I think that's that's good. I think I think your point is well taken about the watch. You really don't want to go out and spend $300 or $400 on a Garmin or any type of a GPS watch when you're just starting, because you don't know if this is going to be for you. Hopefully, it is going to be for you. Just go out to Walmart or whomever, giving all these people plugs here, and get a $10 watch and see if it works. I think that's the way to do it. Before we end the show, from each one of you, I want to ask each of you, Michelle, start with you. What would be a pitfall to watch out for? What would be something to watch for that would be harmful or that would throw you off that you want to mention to people?
I think the biggest thing I've learned, and it's really for any distance, is that you're not going to go out and do exactly what you want to do on day one. It's definitely a process, and you have to make little goals, small little goals. Even if it's I'm gonna run 1 minute or walk 1 minute longer than I did the day before. If you set your goals small and you achieve them, before long you'll be doing everything that you wanted to do. So I think that's one thing. Actually, it's not really a pitfall, but it's a suggestion. The other thing too is we're so busy in our lives. We have work, we have kids, we have jobs and everything. If you want to do this, do it for you. And I know that when I get out of bed in the morning to run and I'm getting up a little early, I'm never disappointed even if I'm tired and I'm dragging my rear end around, I'm never disappointed if I get out there and run. But if I don't do it, then I'm disappointed. So give yourself a little extra kick and make those goals, write them on the calendar. If you start to make excuses, then you'll lose your focus. But it becomes a good habit if you make a schedule and keep on doing it. And I know for me now, when I don't run, I feel antsy. So,
sure.
Steve?
You know, I think the thing I would say is leave something for tomorrow. And what I mean by that is we get excited when we start these programs, and that's terrific. I mean, we need to be excited. We need to be motivated. We need to be focused. But sometimes we can kind of overdo it. And so my thought always is when you finish a workout, let's say it's went out for today, it was 25 minutes, and again, it was an alternating run-walk program, 1 minute run, 1 minute walk. At the end of that, you should feel satisfied with your workout, but at the same time, you should have a little bit of a sense that I could have done more. And if you ever get to a workout in the end of that, and it really does, you spent everything you've got. One, it's going to be difficult to come back tomorrow to do your next workout, and two, you're going to increase your likelihood of injury. So I guess that's to avoid injury, to avoid burnout, to keep that enthusiasm, to keep you on pace and making progress is. Like I said, at the end of the workout, say, boy, you know what? That was great. It was satisfying, but I could have done more. And if you feel that way, then you're doing it right. And, it's going to keep it fun. It's going to keep you injury free, and it's going to keep you moving toward your goal. So I guess that would be what I would suggest.
That's great advice.
I kind of echo both of you. Again, I go back to my three P's. Plan it well, be patient, and be persistent. But I like what you said also, Steve, saying that, and as a mature runner, I can tell you that I'm always looking to make sure that I can run tomorrow. So I'm very careful about what I do today. I don't want to overdo it. And I agree with you 100%, Michelle, about if I'm not running. Oh, we must be getting a call. We get a live show. And if I'm not running, I'm feeling a little antsy myself. Michelle, did you want to add something?
Yes, I wanted to say one more thing, which is if you're setting a goal to do a Disney 5K, tell everybody. You have your support system, and tell people what you're doing so that they will send you texts and give you cheers and be there for when you're having a tough day and you may feel like you don't want to train. So tell your Facebook friends, tell them when you went out and ran and share your little achievements, because you'll find that you'll get so much support if you do that.
And that's going to do it for episode one of the Mickey Miles podcast. If you enjoyed listening to the discussion tonight, I'm going to tell you that it's going to continue on our Facebook page. You can come to our and visit us on Facebook at MickeyMilesPodcast.com, where you can also send us your questions. However, I think that you may want to send us your questions on questions at MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll answer them there. And anything else that you want to ask us beyond 5K questions or whatever, feel free to send us questions. So with that, I'm going to thank Steve and Michelle for being with me tonight, and I want you to again, visit us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at Mickey Miles Pod, and also send us questions at MickeyMilesPodcast.com. So with that, this is Mike Scopa saying, we'll see you on the road.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at Facebook.com/MickeyMilesPodcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at Twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.